You have been blessed with this invaluable opportunity, the opportunity to sit this week of Zazen together. Not everybody has been so blessed. Just a while ago, I received a phone call, a request by phone for someone to attend Sesshin, and I had to turn her down. The woman who called me had received a call from the young girl who's having lots of problems and feeling those problems very heavily. So instead of sitting at home moping and wallowing in misery, the woman who called me suggested that the girl throw herself into Sesshin. It would be her first time to do Zazen. And the girl was all ready to do just that. She was ready to come today. But unfortunately, I had to refuse her because she's never attended Sesshin or done Zazen, and I wouldn't have the time to guide her with so many other people here to take care of. I wouldn't have time to get her started and settled in. Not knowing her way around here, she would surely cause distractions for some of you. Distractions. Some of you are easily plagued by distractions. The man sitting next to me wiggles, that kind of thing. I well remember my very first Sesshin. I had the misfortune to sit next to a noisy breather. He was an older fellow and his breathing habits were well established. He gasped in the air as he inhaled and he whistled the air out on the exhalation. I could handle the inhalation sounds, but the noisy exhalation was just too much for me. So I wrote him a note and passed it to him between rounds of Zazen. But those disturbances which are externally aroused are still minor. It's the disturbances which arise within your own mind, your own thinking, your thoughts, that are most dangerous and most debilitating to your practice. What am I doing here anyway? Couldn't I better be spending this time doing something else? Why is it necessary to do Zazen? I could be doing something else with all that I've got to do, and I'm sitting here doing nothing. Maybe I should take care of a few other things first and then see about doing Zazen. And all those doubts, the doubts that arise, your thoughts, doubting thoughts. Or maybe you even might come to decide at some point, well, the most important thing is to do my job wholeheartedly. And then if there's any time left over, I can do Zazen. We've all come from lifestyles of indulgence. We've been able to do pretty much what we wanted, relatively speaking. We rest when we choose. We eat and drink pretty much as the urge comes. So, of course, it's only natural that negative thoughts come up during Zazen. Why should I hold myself down this way? Those thoughts and the restless thoughts can take many forms, some subtle and some not so subtle. It's all pulling you away from Zazen, from your practice. That's why Dogen Zenji wrote and why we chant this before every Teisho. In this life and future lives to come, may we be able to hear the true Dharma, and when we hear it, to believe it. To believe Dharma and practice it. Practice this. In this boundless universe, this timeless, beginningless, endless time and space, this now here, just now, I am alive. Alive, just this. What is it going to take to inspire you to enlightenment? And what do you realize when your eyes are finally open? It says, I always say, but I'll say it again, there is no self versus other. In all the vast universe, there is nothing outside you yourself. No separation. There is nothing which is not already from the beginning you yourself. The other day, the cutest little puppy wandered into the temple. He wandered wholeheartedly in. No superiority, no inferiority complex, without complaints, without objections, just wholeheartedly alive, that little puppy. I wanted to keep him, to raise him here, but I have to think first of guarding the practice of those here, of preventing distractions. We've been chanting the Sutra of the Buddha's last teaching, and in that sutra it says we're not to raise animals. We have to guard against distractions. Fortunately, we found a good home with children for the puppy. And the other day I wondered how the puppy was doing, and I went to see him. He recognized me right away and greeted me happily with his tail wagging. That was after only 1 week together. Well, maybe he was also interested in the biscuits that I had for him. But how lively he was. How utterly alive. No faltering, no holding back to size up the situation. Just right here. There's an old saying that goes, if you keep a dog for 3 days, he'll repay you with 3 years of gratitude. What about a person? What about a human being? What about you, yourself? Blessed with this human birth, how few persons know gratitude, how few persons appreciate and seek to repay that appreciation. Why must I do Zazen? To awaken to true appreciation, true gratitude. And what is it to appreciate, to repay with your gratitude? The way is universal and complete. It's written in big, bold characters over the entrance to the Zendo. The way, truth, your true self, the truth of all things. It's not something artificial, not something you make up. To realize it, you must suspend judgment. We're always analyzing and judging, categorizing, and then choosing this over that. Got to set that aside for a time. In truth, everything, just as it is genuine, is the truth. The way is universal, complete. One who awakens to the universal truth can't help but proclaim, it's all perfect. All beings are Buddha, endowed with Buddha wisdom and Buddha nature. All the many beings are Buddha. So you can say, when you realize this, you can say, I never had any reason to complain. No reason to feel dissatisfied. It's just as I always say, You're continually feasting on the very finest, and yet you don't taste the feast. Just not tasting it isn't the worst. What's worse is that you haven't yet come around to asking, how can I benefit others? If you say that you aren't sure what there is to live for, I must ask you, are you asleep? Things will change for you, though. Your time will come. Your time will come to bow your head in reverence. In reverence to everything. You'll know that there's no reason to discriminate, and as you always have, liking this and pushing that away. You'll feel reverence toward everything, and you'll shout, thank you. I'm not pulling your leg. I'm not talking foolishness just to try to lead you on here. Believe me, you will bow in reverence, quite naturally. There was one of you who became quite ill with a cold and fever during the period when we were chanting the sutra of the Buddha's last teaching. You felt miserable and you didn't want to have to be a burden or depend on others around you. You could have been feeling altogether contrary, perverse. That would be an ordinary reaction to your situation. But when your karma ripens, you have the opportunity to hear the resonance of Dharma. You could hear the chanting of the Buddha's last teaching, and your way of hearing and of chanting a little changed, deepened steadily and surely. You came to be able to hear Shakyamuni Buddha's teaching, maybe 1,000th of a bit of it or 1/10,000th of a bit of it, but steadily, surely. Your chanting became deeper than before. When Shakyamuni Buddha was to leave this world, he cautioned us, do not be sad or anxious. Do not be worried about anything. You should always seek earnestly for the way. The number one thing for you to do, the only thing for you to do, is awaken to your truth self. Monks, you should not be sad or anxious. Even if I were to stay in this world for a whole kalpa, people who meet must, in the end, leave each other. It is impossible for a meeting to have no end. The Dharma, which benefits oneself as well as others, is perfectly complete. There would be no benefit from my staying longer in this world. I have already saved all human and celestial beings who could be saved. And for the people who are not yet saved, I have sown the seeds of salvation. The seeds of salvation are sown. Your time will ripen. From this time on, my disciples continually practice. The Dharma body of the Tathagata will survive and never perish. Shakyamuni Buddha cast off his body, yet he has not gone anywhere. All is well. Do not be worried by anything. You should make pure and relentless effort to achieve liberation and dispel the darkness of ignorance with the light of wisdom. You have no time to waste. You must become free. You are variously grasping this and that. Let go of all grasping. Practice this. Come alive to the truth, which we all embody. Can you say now, my desire for liberation, my desire to be free, is strong and pure? Once you've awakened to truth, that's when your step on the path really begins, 100% wholly sincere. You can become such a person. Your walking the path will become sincere. It will. The way, boundless and eternal. We are beginning this session. Is your resolution firm? I'll drop selfishness and I'll not falter. The proof of your determination and the fruit of your determination is just this one doing, just this one breath. If you're counting your breath, set aside everything else and be this breath. Everything is this breath. If you're following the breath, you can be one with this. Keep at it. This is your practice. You each have your own practice to do. Please do it. Become your practice. I ask that you be patient with the situation as you find it. We are some 60-something people here with little space and few toilets. Accept it. Accept everything you encounter as you practice. Your continued practice, your continuing practice, embraces everything. Your tante includes everything. You're packed in here tightly enough to kick somebody in the head just by turning around. Everything is okay. Receive everything as encouragement. A room of sorts has even been prepared in the Founders Hall. Please accept it willingly, graciously. You're able to rest with the Founders and with Dayun Roshi Sama. How grateful you can be for this. I beg you to embrace everything you encounter as your practice, as your continued, ongoing tante. I ask you to receive everything you encounter as great encouragement. Let everything inspire your doing. Together with all beings, we attain Buddhahood.